Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining me. This is Angela Coulter bringing you this episode of Living the Shift. So this week we're going to talk about a topic that is actually it's interesting because I sort of expect that the people who most need to hear this topic probably won't listen because it's too uncomfortable. but that's sort of how it goes because we're sort of hitting on some pretty interesting and deep stuff now. Collectively as well as individually. But our topic today is, you know, about releasing the chains in your life, right? And who holds the chains in your life? You know, I always think of that Eagle song, you know, Already Gone. And, you know, so oftentimes it happens, we live our lives in chains, never even know we have the key. That is really an important statement right now. And very uncomfortable for many because part of this existence of duality and separation has been that we are disempowered and we disempower ourselves and we've become very comfortable. The ego has become very comfortable in allowing itself to be disempowered for those things that we judge and find uncomfortable within us. So what we do is we tend to avoid looking at something and we figure out a way to manifest into our reality how to disempower ourselves, how do we convince ourselves that we are disempowered or victimized so that we have no control over a certain situation. So that's a lot of stuff. There are so many layers of this. And I see this with pretty much everyone. We all have some form of it. That's part of the resolution. Right now, we're going through a period of time that is really focused on looking in the darkness of the closet, looking in what's the deepest depths of us so that we can actually not only come to peace with it, but, you know, look at it straight on, come to peace with it, embrace it, and come into a place of love with it. And this is really uncomfortable and unusual and very different for us. So what we're doing, so there's a lot of discomfort coming out for many. And so therefore, there are many, many ways that are being manifested so that we can avoid moving forward for ourselves. But mostly, it has to do with worthiness. It has to do with, again, the belief that something else or someone else is more worthy than us, or that something that we do, we have to do certain things so that we do prove ourselves worthy, because there is the perception that we could be unworthy. And when we do that, so we've found this entire mix of existence that allows us to, at least on the surface, justify or rationalize why we don't step forward on our journey, why we hold ourselves back. And those are the chains that I'm talking about. So many, right? And what a chain would be, and this is what is for you to reflect on in your own life, is where you say, well, I have to wait until blank. I can't do this until blank. I can't do this because blank. Anytime we say I can't, or, you know, I have to wait, or it doesn't work, or whatever, even if our heart, when our heart or higher self, our spirit is telling us that something is really, really important, something will bring us happiness, and we believe that if we don't have a full acceptance of our divine worthiness, then we get to this place of, I can put off my happiness, I can put off my bliss, because to prove that I'm worthy of it, I have to do this first. Yeah, that's going on a lot, especially with children, right? Oh, no, I can't do this because of my children. I can't, I have to wait until after my children are grown up. I have to wait until this. I can't do this because of my spouse. I can't do this because of my parents. I can't do this because of my friends. I can't do this because of where I am. There's so many I can'ts, I can'ts, I can'ts, I can'ts. And those are the chains. Anytime we say I can't about myself, those are the chains that we're holding on to in terms of with the connection, especially of limiting ourselves, which obviously the word can't just does that completely. So look at that in your life. Excuse me. Whenever I talk to someone, whenever I talk to a client or a student who is limiting their life, it's always because of a can't. It's always because of a chain. It's always because they say, well, so let me think of like one of bazillion examples that I have. So there are people who don't leave a very an unhappy, unserving marriage or relationship because of money situations. I know at least a half dozen that just off the top of my head who stay in a marriage or relationship because they feel like they have to, because the alternative would be that, you know, they would be without money even though they would be happier. And I know extremes of that, like people who've really, really settled in and turned off their higher self or ignored it really loudly or done a lot of things to ignore their higher self really loudly because the ego is saying, oh my God, we can't leave if we leave. No matter how miserable it is if we leave, you know, we can't. And the more it seems that if I see money coming up, the situation of money coming up of like, you know, and it seems like the more money the person has as part of that marriage, the more they're afraid of leaving it because it has control over them. Because there's a part of them that says, oh, well, I can sacrifice happiness for comfort because I can tell myself I'm happy if I'm comfortable, but I'd have to really look in the mirror if I wasn't, you know. That goes on a lot. And then even people are just getting by. Well, actually, sometimes it's even worse with those who are just getting by. Well, it'll be even worse if I left. Not realizing that energetically you're in a state of lack about something because in your life, whether it's so here's the thing. In our minds, we feel like, okay, we connect like money to value. All right, if I have a lot of money, even if I'm unhappy, I'm going to stay. And then what happens is 9 times out of 10, I see this happen all the time. The person gets physically ill, has physical limitations, has all of this stuff because their whole being is saying, this does not serve us. And yet they hold on to it. And then they can't figure out why they can't let go of the chronic illness or chronic sickness or why they can't get past a certain point or why they're stuck. It's like, well, because you've stuck yourself. So, you know, that can be with a job. It can be with a relationship. It can be in our lives. You know, it's so part of, you know, part of my understanding is, you know, to move forward truly, it's time for us to really step into our passion. And to do that, we just need to follow our hearts. But culturally, we have, in the United States, actually around the world in many cases, well, not all, but many, we have set ourselves up to say things like, oh, well, I have this job to bring home the paycheck so I can justify doing this, so I can have the money to do this, so I can have the money to have fun, because the implication is that I don't have fun without the money, right? Or I can't, or I won't be able to. And that's pretty what we were brought up to. Like, you know, especially those of us in our mid-adulthoods, in our 40s and 50s, where you were brought up in that in-between generation, but also brought up with the old kind of expectations of, oh, you go work for a company, and you work for a company to retire, and, you know, you find a job that you're doing okay with, but, you know, that you like, and that brings home the paycheck so that you can play and do the stuff you like on the weekends, and that's what the mindset is for many, as well, as long as I have enough money to do what I want to do on the weekends. And in many cases, many don't. So I tell them, and I tell anyone, and I'll tell you and anyone else, is why not allow your bliss? Because when you allow your bliss, you don't have to wait for the fun until the weekend. And if you allow yourself to truly love what you're doing, then you get the bonus of playing and getting paid, right? So a lot of, and I see, so I have to put also, okay, so I talk about those who hold themselves back. I have to put a shout out to some of those I know who have really said, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to follow my passion and I'm going to stick it out. And it's been a beautiful, beautiful unfolding to watch. And I have to give a shout out to them because of the fact that it's because of cultural norms and expectations, it can be rather challenging for that to do that. Because what the lesson is there is I don't care what anybody thinks about me. All I care about is my own happiness. Because that's really the goal. The goal is to get to the place of I am in a place of love and happiness with myself all the time. And I beam the light of unconditional love because I am allowing myself to fully be in my divine truth, to fully be who I am. And that is regardless of what 3D circumstances look like. So it's important for us to be willing to let go of the things that don't serve us, to be able to embrace our passion and to embrace our divine truth. And that takes a good, hard, serious look in the mirror. Serious, intense, like direct look in the mirror to say, all right, well, this doesn't serve me. And it might be uncomfortable to let go of it because I've sort of figured out how to be in my reality with it, but I can do it. And I have seen, I have to give a big shout out to some who I've worked with and seen and known who have done that and who are doing that. And it's just amazing to watch the acceleration in their progress. And yet in the beginning, it's so scary. I can even defer back to when I was guided that I was here to do what I do today. And bought it because I did something that I liked before. I did something that I liked a lot and I was good at. And what's interesting is a message that's been coming through a lot in the past several weeks and through other people saying to me, just because you're good at something doesn't mean you should be doing it. There are many people who are good at their jobs or are great at their jobs, but they're not necessarily here to do it because it's not their passion. It's not their ultimate purpose. So it's a great message. And I had forgotten about that until this moment. I have to write that back down. But that's where we get stuck in that, well, I'm good at what I do. It's easy for me. I get kudos and accolades and all that kind of stuff. And it's far scarier to go and do something new. That's what happened with me in the beginning. I kept on getting the message, you came here to do this. You came here to be a voice in the awakening. You came here to help others step into their own power and remember their own divinity and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, who the heck am I to do that, right, in the beginning? And then I recognized who I am, just like as everyone else around me. And I was like, well, of course, that makes so much sense. But it took a whole huge leap for me. Well, actually, I ignored it for a long time. So I totally understand when I see people going, well, you know, all right, well, I'm going to continue doing this because it's comfortable and I'm good at it. But we're not talking comfort. We're talking passion and joy and bliss. And we all deserve to have these blisses, this bliss in every day and every moment of every day. We deserve to be passionate and love, not just like, but love what we do. And what I always ask people as a guideline is this. If you won the lottery tomorrow, say you won, I don't know, $700 million tomorrow, would you still do what you do? And a vast majority of people in this world would say, absolutely not. I'd quit, you know. And my answer is, absolutely. It might be different parameters and it might look different, but I would still do what I do regardless of if I had $500 million in the bank or one, because I love it so much. And that's what we all deserve to do. We all deserve to live a life of bliss and really follow our hearts and to know what our hearts are telling us and listen and be able to put away, let go of, and release and just exist without or exist in a place of freedom from those things that hold us back. That's where we are now in terms of evolution, in terms of progression. And just think about this. If everybody went to work every day and it was play for them and they loved it, because different strokes for different folks, all of these things really, everybody's got their different propensity for loving different things, and that's the makeup of the individual journey and the beauty of it, right? So if we all allowed ourselves to truly just do what we are passionate about, and we were so, think of how much happier we would be. Think of how much easier things would be for us. And think of how drastically we would change the world right now. If we could all find allowed ourselves to be in our bliss and divine truth, and we're just okay with that, What if we look, it's so funny. So talking about, let's go back to the chains, right? So think about that when we talk about the chains. These are the chains I hear, well, I can't leave the marriage now because of my kids. I can't because of financial purposes. I can't leave my job because I won't be able to make the same amount of money and pay my bills. And actually what that translates to is live the same kind of lifestyle that I'm living. I can't. Oh, I am trying to think of all of. There's so many, so many, where we hold ourselves in this place of stagnation because we're so afraid. And really, what the translation is, I'm afraid. I'm afraid that I'm not worthy. I'm afraid that if I do this, that I'm going to fail, right? Because there's a perception of failure in duality and separation. But what if we said, what if I told you you couldn't fail? What if I said, everything that we do works out perfectly, and the more we trust, the easier it becomes. What if we trusted in this one thing and just said, okay, I'm going to totally let go and do as I'm guided and stand in my truth and enjoy myself and just let go of the expectations of everything and everyone around me, right? So going back to those, I know, I've done, like I said, I did it, and of course my higher self had to really shut down the rest of my world until I couldn't look at anything else. So I really highly recommend not to wait till then. I highly recommend to sort of take the bull by the horn. I have to give credit, worked with and seen so many who have really drastically changed their lives and left marriages, even left their children because of their guidance, because their heart told them there was something more for them right now. And yet they still, and they had to reforge their whole relationship, and they had to withstand the judgment and criticism of those around them, right? Of, oh, well, what are they going through, midlife crisis with them now? No, it's time. So what I always tell everyone is, when we falter on that, the really, really important part is to say, I understand with all the shifting because of the facade that I've had before. I understand that things are going to crumble and relationships are going to crumble and change, and my life is going to change. And if I let go and allow it to change to accommodate me living my bliss in every moment, it will be bliss in every moment ultimately. And so everything will work out in the way that will bring me bliss. Why do you think we can't trust that? Mostly because we've told ourselves that. I know that the more we allow ourselves to be in a higher vibration, the more we recognize, the more we allow things that don't serve us to fall away in our lives, the more we realize, oh my gosh, that was such a weight on my shoulders. And I'm not saying, leave your kid on a corner, but what I tell people all the time, and this happens a lot with mothers. It does happen a lot with mothers. Actually, it happens differently with fathers culturally, and I'll tell you about that in a minute. But so much decisions and lack of and holding ourselves in place has to do with this feeling of what a mother or a father is supposed to be. And my answer to that is always this. You know what a mother or father is to show the next generation and teach them what they are going to grow into be. So what better example can you be than someone who truly lives their passion and loves what they do? Because then it motivates the next generation to say, hey, look it, they did that. I'm allowed to do it too. I'm allowed to live my bliss. And every generation, it becomes easier. That's the goal. We always talk about we want the best for our children. We want the best for the next generation. Well, the best way of doing that is to do what's best for us. And to find that bliss, to remember it within ourselves, to remember our divine truth, and to be brave and courageous enough to do that without caring about the judgment. Like I said, it's really funny. A lot of people, with the children and this and that, and I tell them, you know what? Even if your child doesn't understand now, and they are, mad at you now or have issues now, when they eventually grow up, that first of all, that's the journey they chose. But second of all, there's a better chance of them growing up into a place of starting out from a place of saying, you know what, I deserve to live my passion. So, And then the more we do it, the more we set the example for everyone else around us to do it. And I know it can feel hard. The ego will convince you that it's impossible. But the more the ego convinces you something is impossible, the more I encourage somebody to change it, to do it, to do what the ego is telling them is impossible because you can. And I have so many stories, so many success stories around that. And I just promise you, all you need to do is start taking the step and looking straight in the mirror instead of avoiding and saying, well, I'll look at this later. Well, this is too comfortable now. I'll look at this later. Because I will tell you that we are accelerating in our change and progression so much right now that the higher self gets to a point of saying, yeah, you know what? No more. I'm just going to break this because that's the only way you're going to allow yourself to reform it. And I highly recommend most of the time not to do that way, because it's typically not the highest form of grace and ease. Let's just say that. So the first step is really looking in the mirror and saying and listening to yourself and to your can't, and write them down and say, what if I did? Well, what would bring me joy? Many today can't even remember yet what does bring them such joy, right? And also, if you've gone like part of the way, even more important, because many have gone part of the way and they're like, well, why can't I get past this point? Why am I stuck? Well, there's obviously something that you're blinding yourself to so that you don't have to look at it. So that, because it's really uncomfortable for the ego, because it's sort of like the next wave of what it is to let go of or recreate with, you know, free of these other things that you've convinced yourself you need to have, even if they don't serve you. And then take the first step and change, make little changes, and listen to your heart. And you know, that's what I'm here to do. I can help you. There are many other spiritual practitioners and life coaches and stuff like this that can help you find that within yourself. And that is what my goal is in helping people, to empower them to truly step into their 100% divine truth and passion and bliss, because there is nothing more satisfying for me than to see others actually totally stepping into their awesomeness and knowing that they can and that they're allowed and they don't need permission from anybody but themselves. So that's what our session here, our clearing, is going to be about today. And the intention would be, I am free and clear to fully embrace, accept, and stand in my divine birthright of passion and bliss and love in the highest form to achieve my ultimate soul's purpose, as I have set out to do, with the most, absolute most grace and ease and fun and effortless flow. That feels really good. Let's do whatever's to be done so that we can fully exist and manifest from the vibration and the release and reality of that station, of that statement. And by the way, if you're watching this outside of space and time, you can absolutely join us because this is all done out of space and time. So that means if you're watching the recording, you can still do it. All right. So in closing, you know, we talked about doing a list of things that you say, you know, you keep on telling yourself you can't do and why you can't do something. That's important, too. It's why you believe you can't do something. And something we can ask in meditation, regardless of what your practice is, show me how I can do this in the highest and best, most graceful and easy way. Show me how to do that. Help it come into my reality in a graceful and easy and fun way, you know, kind of thing. Very important. And baby steps. And if you need help, give me a call. I'm at trinityenergyprogression.com is the practice website, but I actually also have a site called spiritualalchemy.net that's sort of being created as we go, but it's a transfer over from my old website, roadtoawakening.net. I've been doing this for a while. I work with a lot of people, but there are many practitioners out there who can help you. But the first thing is to step there and say, I'm ready to do this, and I am worthy to do this, and it's okay. It's okay. And how can I change it? And, you know, it's funny. I'm going to say one thing before I hang up because this is a really, really interesting. It's really cool. So, you know, the movie Yes Man, perfect example of how to change the energy of all that kind of stuff. When we say no to stuff all the time, we have this negative, like, constricting energy. But the movie Yes Man with Jim Carrey, which is hysterical, it has a great message about what if we just did say yes for a period of time. In the show, there's a show on Netflix called George and Frankie, which is a phenomenal new show with Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin. They talk about a yes night where they go out and everything has to be yes. Everything that they ask or are asked, they have to say yes to. And it's a great way. What if we said one day a month, we just said it's a yes day, and everything that came to us, we said yes to. It changes our energy, breaks out of the bind, breaks out of the mold, and helps us maybe see things when we ask the universe, show me how to do this or how to bring this into my reality. It'll put it there for you. So starting next week, really exciting, starting next episode, we're going to start having some guests on. We're probably going to go to 45 minutes because these go about 35 to 40 minutes anyway. But I'm going to have guests on every week. We're going to have conversations on the same kind of things, same kind of topics. But I'm going to add a little bit of color and change it up a little bit to the show for a while. So hope you can join us. Have a fantastic week. We'll talk to you next time. This is Angela signing off with Living the Shift. Thanks a lot. Bye.